College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please. To John Rothstein, please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and to break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in this show, we will be joined by Villanova head coach Jay Wright. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in this podcast. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is brought to you by Untuck It. Hey, guys, it's never a good look when you untuck a long, bulky dress shirt. You may think it makes you look casual, but more than likely just ends up looking sloppy. That's why Untuck It makes shirts specifically designed to be worn untucked. Untuck It shirts are a go-to for any occasion, from casual to dressy. And not only do they look good, they feel great. Log on to untuckit.com and check out all the new arrivals. Stop hiding your shirt with your pants and your pants with your shirt. Untuckit.com, your solution to perfecting casual. Use promo code HOOPS for 20% savings for first-time customers. That's promo code HOOPS for first-time customers to receive 20% off. You can also visit one of Untuckit's over 25 retail locations across the country. Now that we've got you set for all your Untuckit needs, let's dive into Villanova as we are just about 5 weeks away from games. A much different feel surrounding the Wildcats this year. Again, two national championships in the last 3 years. But after watching this team practice last week, the biggest thing that I have to say to fans of Villanova and people who obviously follow college basketball, you need to be patient with this program. Four players gone to the NBA, Jalen Brunson, Dante DiVincenzo, Mikal Bridges, and Amari Spellman. And I know that Villanova, in each of the last five seasons, has averaged 33 wins a year. I know that they have been the dominant program in the Big East. But I see a team right now that is going to have a preseason ranking and a mark in the Big East based on what they've done and not necessarily who they are. And Villanova this year is going to be more tested than they've been tested in a long time. How does Jay Wright handle those expectations? And what does he think in terms of the challenge he's about to undertake compared to what he's dealt with in each of the last 5 years? We'll find out as Jay Wright, the head coach of Villanova, joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein coming up next. Villanova has won two of the last three national championships. They've averaged 33 wins a season in over the last 5 years. And the head coach of the Wildcats is Jay Wright. He joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Coach, you told me in 2016 that your life didn't change after winning your first national title. Did it change after winning your second?
Not really. And a good thing, especially here in Philadelphia, after we won the first one, people were still dying for an Eagles Super Bowl. So they kind of got excited about it. But after the Eagles won the Super Bowl and then Philadelphia was still celebrating, we won it. It's been pretty calm, so it's been pretty cool.
Now, one of the things that goes hand in hand with teams winning a national championship is often players leave off that team and go to the NBA. You didn't have to deal with that as much in 2016. You did last spring. Was it harder enjoying the national title you won last year because at the same time last spring you were trying to plan for your roster for the upcoming season?
Yeah, it really did take away from thinking a lot about the championship, because we had two guys in Jalen Brunson and Mikal Bridges that we were still spending a lot of time with them, preparing them for their workouts. Those guys all stayed around here and worked out, so we were working with them. And then Dante DiVincenzo and Omar Spellman were both going through the process, and both without agents. So we were scheduling everything for them. We were monitoring the situation with NBA teams for them. and working them out. So it took a lot of time. We got right into that as soon as the season was over, and it really occupied a lot of our staff's time.
So you lose four players to the NBA, but as I said, you averaged 33 wins a season over the last 5 years. But if you assess your roster right now, it doesn't resemble any of the teams we've seen the last decade based on returning experience. When was the last time you think you were challenged like you are right now from an experience standpoint?
You know what, John? I don't think we've ever had this situation in terms of experience. I think in 08, we didn't have any seniors on the team, but we had a number of juniors. As a matter of fact, the junior class that year, 07, 08, wound up being the senior class on a Final Four team in 09. Dwayne Anderson, Dante Cunningham, and that Shane Clark, all those guys. So that was a really experienced group, even though they were juniors. We've never had, really, we've got two players in Eric Pascal and Phil Booth that have played significant minutes. Really, that's it. You know, we've added a fourth-year transfer in Joe Crema. We've never done that before. So he's inexperienced when it comes to our program. So we've probably never had this before. It's certainly a unique challenge.
Now, you've dominated the Big Five. You've dominated the Big East over the last 5 years, but now every one of those teams that you're playing, whether in Philadelphia or in your conference, are probably looking at your program and looking at the opportunity for payback. How much have you verbalized that to your team, and how much is that going to be a big part of the dialogue as you prepare to kick things off in early November?
Yeah, that's a really interesting point, John. We have talked to the guys about this. Not necessarily that. I mean, I think the way you explained it is probably the way the other teams look at it. You know, like this is a chance for paybacks, but you know, we're not really concerned about that with our players. What we're trying to explain to them is that you know, they might be new and young, and they might be looking at how things appear in practice, but they have to understand we have to be at an entirely different level because of the intensity and the focus the teams are going to play against us with.
Right.
And then it's been that way, you know, really for the last 5 years. And we've had experienced players that get that. So they know going into a game against any Big Five team, any Big East game, no matter what the opponent's record is, they know what we see on film is not what we're going to see on the court. But these guys have never experienced that. So a lot of them have not experienced college basketball, and then they're going to experience playing against teams that are looking at us as the defending national champions, and also some local teams and teams in the Big East that we've had a lot of success against over the years. So they're going to be at a higher level. We're going to get a taste of that early in the season.
Villanova head coach Jay Wright joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. One of the players you highlighted that's returning from last year's team is Eric Pascal. In 2 years at Villanova, he has only attempted double-figure field goals in 7 games. During his freshman year at Fordham, he attempted double-figure field goals 24 times. How much will that experience help transition as he becomes a focal point for your team this year?
Man, John, you come up with good stats. I didn't know that one. I like that one. That's actually, I'll use that with Eric. I'll quote you. But I do think his experience at Fordham will help him this year. I think he is much more comfortable being more of a volume shooter. And he has done an incredible job adjusting and doing all the little things in our program other than score. Although he's had some big scoring games like the Kansas game in the Final Four, but it's natural for him to be a go-to guy. So I think he's added all of the complementary aspects of his game, all the things you can do when you're not scoring. He's added that. He has it. And now he's ready to go back to what's comfortable for him, being a leading scorer. And I think he's become a much more complete player, and I think it's really benefited him.
You know, you mentioned the term go-to guy, and that was Jalen Brunson over the past couple seasons, especially last season, the National Player of the Year, and just the type of player that, you know, became appointment television nationally. You bring in another blue-chip point guard to replace him in Javon Quinterly. How important is it, not just for him, but for every point guard moving forward at Villanova, to understand that being good and being solid isn't the enemy of being excellent, because that seemed to be what Jalen Brunson was every time he played over the last two seasons?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think that's something that Jalen learned to appreciate from Ryan Arcidiacono. And I think Jalen took it to another level. And, you know, that's efficiency. That's being efficient, you know. And I think Javon Quinterly is learning that right away. He watched Jalen, play with Jalen this summer some. He's learning from Colin Gillespie, who learned from Jalen. And you used an interesting term there, that you can be really efficient and you can be dynamic too. And that's what we try to do with our guards. We don't want to take away any of their creativity, any of their aggressiveness, but we want them to be efficient. And Jalen was really the quintessential effective, efficient, yet still really creative guard.
Well, and since we're talking about guards right now, I have to ask you about Colin Gillespie, who, you know, a lot of people, I don't think, really know this, but Colin was a potent scorer when he was in high school, and last year he was a valuable reserve, but he averaged just over 7 points a game last year in the games that he logged 20 minutes or more. How much is he kind of the unsung presence, you know, when people think about your program, considering all that you lost and the pieces that are coming back?
He's really an X factor this year in that, you know, last year he knew he didn't need to score. So he came off the bench and gave us great defense, efficiency. He was very very effective at finding other people, getting other people shots, but yet when left alone could make shots. He is, as you said, a natural scorer. So if he can transition in only his second year to being a dynamic scorer at this level, that's going to be really important for us. Even if he can't, though, in terms of the scoring, his leadership, his defense, his basketball intelligence is going to be really important for us. And it's also helpful in Javon Quinterly's development.
Well, you know, if you're going to have great scoring from your guards, you're going to need to have great spacing, and great spacing is a product of great shooting. And for Villanova fans who think about great shooting, they think about Chris Jenkins, but beyond his game-winning shot against Carolina 2016 national title game, he was always a great shooter, and he came in a great shooter. When I was at practice last week, the guy that immediately made your eyes pop out was Cole Swider, because of his ability to shoot the basketball. I'm not asking to compare them as players, but based on shooting ability, how does Cole Swider's shooting ability compare to Chris Jenkins's when they arrived on campus as freshmen?
Well, if you talk about how they arrived, Cole Swider is more prepared to play as a two-three man at this level than Chris Jenkins was coming in. Chris had a great stroke coming in, but he really didn't shoot a lot of threes in high school because he was a five-man. He hit a lot of 15-foot jumpers. And one of the things that we had to do once he got here was just extend his range. And because of his leg strength and his work ethic, that really wasn't difficult, but it did take a good portion of his freshman year. Cole comes in with tremendous range and a unique ability to get off his shot quickly. And one of the things that's interesting about Chris Jenkins and Cole Swider that is similar is both of them come in as very good rebounders. Now, Chris was a rebounder because he was a center and he was used to working inside, but Cole has always been a good rebounder in his career, and from the perimeter, he rebounds the ball well. So I think he might be ahead of Chris as a shooter at this point. I'd love to see him catch up to Chris as a rebounder.
Noted. Now, Jay, we've went through, you know, a number of players on your team, and there's a lot of unproven commodities, and that's something, obviously, that keeps coaches up late at night. But one big thing for Villanova that I don't think is getting a lot of attention is you, this season, unlike last year, will be able to play games on campus. Considering the youth and the unproven commodities that are on your roster, how big is it for this team specifically to get the chance to play in the pavilion once again?
It is important, John. I was thinking about that the other day when we walked into the pavilion. We walked in just to look at it with the girls' team. The girls' team had 8 players that had played in the old pavilion. We had 4. and really, two of the – Tim Delaney has been injured, and Dylan Painter hasn't played a lot. Eric Paschal and Phil Booth are really the only two that have played in there. But I thought about if this young group was playing every game in the Wells Fargo Center like last year, and, you know, playing in that big arena, 20,000 every night, that would have been an adjustment. And we don't get to practice down there as much as we practice here. So I think it really is important and advantageous to us that this arena is ready this year for this young group.
Villanova head coach Jay Wright joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. You have obviously dominated the Big East the last 5 years. Xavier's had a lot of great teams. They were a one seed last year. But the one thing that the Big East really hasn't had in this new rendition is strong representation, especially in the NCAA tournament, at two of the Big East best brands, St. John's and Georgetown. What would change for the league from a national perspective if those two brands reached a different level and became relevant nationally?
Well, John, if you would have told me when we started the league 5 years ago that St. John's and Georgetown were not going to be, you know, significant factors to compete for Final Fours in these first 5 years, I would have thought, you know what, that's going to be a dismal time for the Big East. I had no idea the impact, the immediate impact that Butler and Xavier and Creighton would have. So quickly. I really felt like after time in the league, they would benefit from the recruiting, the exposure, the national exposure on Fox, and they would get there. But they were there immediately. Then, you know, we happened to be good at that time. So with the emergence of Georgetown and St. John's, which I think they're going to be really really good this year, I think it just brings the Big East to a level that none of us anticipated. I mean, you've had 5-6 teams in the top 20 at a time, you know, over the last 5 years. I think this could get us to a point where we're getting 7 teams into the NCAA tournament and more teams competing for a national championship. I think Butler, Xavier, and Creighton were probably underestimated, and I think they've really stepped up, especially on the national scene, and now St. John's and Georgetown will just make it natural when they do it.
Well, let's talk about St. John's for a sec. We talked about this a little bit after practice last week. St. John's has, you know, what a lot of people, including me, believe to be the favorite for preseason player of the year in Shamari Ponds, who just went on a tear midway through the Big East season last year. If Shamari Ponds wasn't playing at a place like St. John's, and you've had more dominant combo guards than anybody over the last decade and a half, if, let's say, he was playing at a place like Villanova, what do you think the perception would be of him nationally, considering how dynamic he is?
Yeah, he definitely would have gotten a lot of hype. You know, if you're on a team and you're winning, that always helps. And it makes a difference in terms of how you're perceived by NBA guys too. That's one of the things that you know, I think it goes unnoticed sometimes. And I think what you saw with some of our guys being drafted this year was they were being drafted on their ability, but also that they were going to bring a winning mentality to their teams. So I think he definitely would have gotten more exposure, but I think the St. John's program, I think Chris Mullins did an incredible job. I think they're ready to come onto the scene, and at the same time that team's good, he's really good. And I agree with you. He would be my pick for a preseason player of the year.
Well, you know, you look at Villanova, and we look at, again, an arduous schedule. St. John's is going to be on there. Georgetown's going to be on there after the non-conference portion of the schedule. But part of the deal with being the Villanova job is you add the Big Five to your non-conference schedule. And I was looking at it last week. After December 1st, when you guys play at LaSalle, every opponent you have is either part of the Big Five or a high major opponent. How important is it by December 1st to have your team as ready as it can be? Because really, there's no more dress rehearsals after that. There's no more valleys in the schedule. I mean, that's kind of the Mendoza line.
Yeah, that's so true. We'll have all Big Five battles and Connecticut and Kansas, and it's going to be a hell of a December. And we'll, I think we'll probably be very prepared for the Big East schedule, and we normally are, because we usually have a very challenging schedule, but this one's more so than most. And we are looking at that in our preseason, John, knowing that you know, it's not just going through December and seeing how we do, because it could really be harmful to our postseason hopes if we're still trying to find our way, you know, at that point in the season. So we're trying to keep things simple, but with these new guys, but also try to get refined so we are prepared for high-level teams. Maybe we don't have as many, you know, maybe adjustments that we can make that we could over the last 4 years, but we better be solid in what we're doing. And that's going to be kind of different for us this year going into December.
Final thing, Jay, you know, one of the things about the non-conference schedule for you that's different this year is you're going to be coaching against two of your former pupils, Quinnipiac's Baker Dunleavy and LaSalle's Ashley Howard. What types of feelings do you have knowing that you're going to be going toe-to-toe with, you know, two people who were, you know, understudies of yours and obviously a critical part of this run that you guys have had the last 5 years?
It is always mixed feelings, and normally we don't like to play against our former assistants, but Baker and Ashley are so unique in that both of them were such a big part of the last few years, and you know, Baker wanted to come back and play here, so I want to do it for him. He deserves it. Although I will hate playing against him. And you know, and Ashley makes it very difficult in the Big Five. You know, it's Big Five teams don't need any more incentive to want to to beat Villanova, but Ashley will definitely get them fired up. He'll get them to understand how important the Big Five is to us, and he'll also obviously know what we do, and he's got a good team, as Baker does. So Ashley just makes the Big Five even tougher for us now, more familiarity and more competitiveness.
Well, Coach, thanks for a couple minutes. Good luck the rest of the preseason. Stay healthy, and look forward to staying in touch along the way.
Definitely, John. Good talking to you, buddy.
We'd like to thank Villanova head coach Jay Wright for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. And a reminder, the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein is being brought to you by Robinhood. Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos all commission-free. They strive to make financial services work for everyone, not just the wealthy. Other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, but Robinhood doesn't charge commission fees, trade stocks, and keep all of your profits. You can learn how to invest as you build your portfolio with the easy-to-use Robinhood platform. Discover new stocks and track favorite companies with personalized news feeds. Even get custom notifications for price movements so you never miss the right moment to invest. Robinhood is giving listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio. Sign up at hoops.robinhood.com. That's hoops.robinhood.com. Time now for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And our first question comes from Sec Henry, and it's, John, what is the ceiling for Nebraska this year? I think if you're Tim Miles, the expectation for Nebraska is to be a top three or four team in the Big Ten and go to the NCAA tournament with a chance to advance. Not many guards in the country more complete than Nebraska's James Palmer. Our next question is going to be from Matt, and it's, John, how far can Washington make it in the big dance this year? I'm going to Seattle this week to watch them practice. You know, there's always a feeling that teams that have tremendous returning talent have a chance to be on a high level the following year. Washington returns a number of players who were part of a team last year that went to the NIT, beat Arizona, beat Kansas. I have Washington in position right now to be a top 25 team and a team at the top of the Pac-12. And now that we've got you set for all your social media needs, before we get to five good nuggets, have you ever looked at your credit card statement and been shocked by the interest rate? Did you know you could actually roll all of your credit card debt into one monthly payment at a lower fixed interest rate? LightStream offers credit card consolidation loans from 5.89% APR with AutoPay. Get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, and you can even get your funds as soon as the day you apply. LightStream believes that people with good credit deserve a great interest rate and no fees. Fun fact, LightStream plants a tree with every loan they fund. My listeners will get a special discount on top of LightStream's already low rates. The only way to get this discount is to go to LightStream.com/hoops. LightStream.com/hoops. Subject to credit approval, rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com/hoops for more information.
Five good nuggets.
Five.
Six.
No, five. But you were close.
Nugget number one, break up the monotony. Dear NCAA, please allow all college programs a third exhibition or scrimmage moving forward. Our game needs more exposure, and the six-week preseason is beyond monotonous. One thing I think you need to look at, 6 weeks for college basketball's preseason is too long, especially when you consider that the NCAA has allowed teams now to work with their programs for 4 hours a week during the offseason. If we can add a third exhibition like we saw a year ago with all those exhibitions, the charity exhibitions that went to charity, it would only enhance the game. Nugget number two, issues in Albuquerque. The news came down on Sunday night that Jaquan Lyle, the transfer from Ohio State, will likely miss the entire 18-19 season for New Mexico due to a ruptured Achilles tendon. New Mexico was thought to be a team that could potentially challenge Nevada at the top of the Mountain West. The lower the ceiling for New Mexico, the lower the ceiling for the Mountain West. That hurts the league that's, again, trying to get multiple teams in the NCAA tournament. Nugget number three. Committee in Evanston, well-embedded moles at Northwestern are telling me that without a true point guard in Northwestern's program to replace Bryant McIntosh, Chris Collins may use different people bringing the ball up the floor next season. He'll use Vic Law there. He'll use Anthony Gaines there. He'll also maybe use Ryan Taylor there, the grad transfer from Evansville. So no one man going to replace Bryant McIntosh. Nugget number four, tail of the pack. The most interesting thing I heard following Nevada's pro day last week, it was Wagner transfer Corey Henson that was one of the Wolfpack's leading scorers during the team scrimmage. This team is going to be exceptionally deep. I think Eric Musselman will have a solid nine-man rotation. You have to remember, Nevada stockpiled their roster with transfers from all different types of programs last year, guys who were sitting out with the expectation that the Martin twins and potentially Jordan Caroline would leave for the NBA. All three players came back. Nugget number five, on the road again, as I mentioned a couple of minutes ago. I'm going to the Northwest this week. I'll check in with Gonzaga, Oregon State, Oregon, and Washington. Three of those four teams supposed to be in the top 25. Oregon the favorite in the Pac-12, Washington right behind, and Gonzaga number two in my top 25 preseason poll.
And before we close out the show today, did you know there is a quick way you could save money? Switch to Geico. All it takes is 15 minutes to find out if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. And Geico offers coverage for more than just car insurance. Got a motorcycle? Geico's got you covered. Got an RV? Covered. Got a boat? Covered. How about homeowners or renters insurance? You bet Geico's got you covered. Go to Geico.com today and see how much you could save. That's Geico.com. We'd like to thank Villanova head coach Jay Wright for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.